Coming up on Something Is About to Happen.
So you can be great, but completely obscure. Now, the only folk who know that you are great might only be you and a small handful of people around about you. And that's why you will need the opportunity of exposure. You need the opportunity of doing in public what you have done so excellently in private. Of being in public what you are so exemplarily in private. I read somewhere, and have often quoted that phrase, that opportunities of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. Opportunities are the vehicle by which God lifts a person into greater opportunity to serve, to find fulfillment, to find significance as they cooperate with God, to do the will of God here on earth. A life spent outside operating the will of God is a wasted life. So my admonition to you as we open our thought this morning is, don't waste opportunities. Neither ruin your opportunities, because they are your ladder in life. The difference between the great and mighty on one side and the mediocre and unaccomplished on the other is often opportunity. A ladder is made of many rungs. Likewise, the ladder of life is made of many opportunities. Opportunities are given by God, but most often presented to us by persons of note, by persons of a greater level of fulfillment or significance than us. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 7, Hebrews 7 and verse 7, the writer writes, and I read, "Without contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the greater." And when you serve great men or great women or great communities, it is always an opportunity that will recommend you to higher service. So please, when you are around greatness, identify it. Greatness does not always appear in the form, fashion, and package that you expect. When you identify greatness, position yourself accordingly, because without contradiction, you are in the opportunity of being blessed by another. Whilst you may be great in one sphere, another might be great in a sphere that you are not great in. And if the two recognize greatness, they both can collaborate and exchange of opportunity. Every time I sit with a learned lawyer, I'm going to learn something and get some mentorship as it concerns lawfulness and how the law works. Every time I sit with great politicians who have made significant impact in their roles and stewardship, it's an opportunity to learn, because even my family is a polity and it requires some politics. And if you didn't know the church is also a polity, come a little closer, you'll understand. Now, not all politics is bad. And that's why Christians must take a role in politics, whether it's in the microcosm of the family or the macrocosm of the nation. Because if light doesn't have a platform to shine, darkness will prevail. But when the light begins to shine, darkness is banished. And God knows it is a good thing that we have good Christians, men of faith, taking responsibility in the civic and civil realm. If David never had a chance or an opportunity, he would never have been able to serve as the epitomic servant king and leader of Israel. If Joseph was never given an opportunity to serve a butler and a baker with dream interpretation in the prison, he would never have become the most influential man for good and for God's will in the whole of the then known world. Now, there was a promise to Abraham, from whom we descend. And that promise is written in the first three verses of Genesis 12. And there, God says to Abraham, come out of your country, your father's house, and from your nation to a land that I will show you. That's the first promise. I'm going to give you land. I'm going to show you land. And verse 2, I will make you great. The way he says it here is I will make you a great nation. Next thing he says, number 3, I will bless you. Fourth thing he says is I will make your name great. There's a difference between being great and having a great name. And the fifth thing he says is you will be a blessing. The sixth thing he says is that I will bless them that bless you. And seventh, I will curse him, singular, that curses you. And number 5, I'm going to send you global. Your impact will be felt, seen, and received around the world. Let me unravel some of these 8 prophetic promises so I can progress a little further. One of the things that strengthens an economy is when large percentages of the populace have equity in land. And that equity can grow as capital in the gains in the market for real estate. It strengthens the economy. It also gives you releasable capital to make further investments in things that will grow your personal and family economy, to give your family a more progressive life. God here promises the father of our faith, his name is Abraham, in whose seed we are. He promises us land. First promise. Second promise, he said, I will make you great. When God says he's going to make you great, he is not referring to notoriety, notability, fame, or popularity. He's referencing character and competence. And he makes you great often in the privacy of your life, outside of prying eyes and away from the spotlight. There, through your trials, your trauma, your tragedy, your tribulation, and the hell you have to go through, he forges into your character integrity, honesty, fearlessness, courage, faithfulness in service, greatness in stewardship, and sincerity of heart. That's what he does. So you can be great, but completely obscure. That the only folk who know that you are great might only be you and a small handful of people round about you. And that's why you will need the opportunity of exposure. Need the opportunity of doing in public what you have done so excellently in private. Of being in public what you are so exemplarily in private. So when we pray, we don't say, God, make me bigger. Say, God, make me better. Make me a better person. Make me a better leader. Make me a better servant. Make me a better husband. Make me a better steward. Make me more faithful. Greatness is more about your character than it is anything else. Second aspect of greatness is competence. Competence and capacity are not the same. Competence is ability in motion in a viable and impactful way. Whereas capacity is competence that has been tested in volume. If you can do it with 12, you can build it with 120. If you can do it at 120, you can do it at 1,200. If you can do 1,200, you can do 7,000. If you can do 7,000, you can do 70,000. If you can do 70,000, you can do 700,000. Just requires some training, some capacity, skill, replication of your abilities in others to multiply the impact and the effect. Yeah? May God make you great. Yeah. Great doesn't mean popular, doesn't mean famous, it doesn't mean notoriety or notability. It just means that in God's eyes, you are forming into exactly what He wants you to be. Hallelujah. May God increase your godliness in character and your godliness in virtue. We don't only want people of character, we want people who can do what needs to be done. Are you with me? The next thing he says is, I will bless you. So as you develop character and competence, God says, I can trust you with my blessing.
I'm going to put something on you that whatever you do, I will bless it. Now, those of you who are not blessed, please cross your two legs, stitch your two lips together and say nothing. But the rest of you who are blessed, I want you to slap three people a high five and shout at them. Tell them, I am blessed and never cursed, and there's nothing that the devil can do about it. That means you're blessed to become governor. You're blessed to become senator. You're blessed to become a husband. You're blessed to become a chief executive. You're blessed to go to the next level. You're blessed to build a better Nigeria. You're blessed to be a transformational agency. You're blessed to have that baby. You're blessed, even though you don't have a penny in your bank account, to buy that land. You're blessed to own your own car. Baby, you are blessed. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul says to us, and I declare in quotation, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What does he mean? Means everything you need to do what God has called you to do, you've been blessed with it already in the invisible realm. That invisibility is you are hid in Christ in God. And in him, you have everything by the way of virtue, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, faith, capacity, competence, everything that you need to function in the aspired or deliberately divinely designed roles to which God has called you. You're blessed. And you have to know that. So that when you see a curse around you, you must understand that you are blessed to change the curse. The curse will never come upon you unless you believe it. But you are blessed. That's why the curse comes against you, so that you can let the curse know that greater is the blessing in me than the curse around me. The next thing he said, not only will I bless you, I'm going to now make your name great. And by saying he's going to make your name great, that means in the privacy of the furnace of affliction where he forged you into godly character, nobody knew who you were. Like David, there was no audience for his great feats and exploits of greatness. There was nobody to see his stewardship and how faithful he was to shoveling sheep dung, looking after his father's sheep, fattening them in the fodder of their feeding pasture, and doing all the things he was meant to do and being all he was as a faithful steward and lover of God and steward of the sheep. A great name is when God takes that character and the virtue of your private accomplishments. You are outside the sight of congregations, assemblages, populace, the people, for those politicians, the electorate, outside of their sight. And what he now does is he gives you opportunity to do publicly what you have excelled in so mightily in private. Don't rush to the public stage. Perfect with practice your skill, your gift, and let God develop character in you in private. For when you seek him earnestly and pray earnestly in private, he says he will reward you in public. Like it is for prayer, so it is for any other character virtue or any other competency that God gives you with. Master it when there's nobody looking. Make your mistakes there when nobody can see, because you won't have the opportunity in the big lights to make mistakes. The lights are not as kind to you when you make mistakes in public. Kill your Amalekites now. Don't try killing them when you become big and beautiful. So we must hone godliness and giftedness to a level of excellence in privacy first. When God made David's name great, he took a guy who had excelled, dysfunctional guy, but he had excelled in private. Nobody knew of his excellence. And he threw him in the big lights. And in one moment, David's name became great. A great man became a great name. And you need a name. If you're going to do great exploits that will impact vast spheres and circles of people, you'll need a name. A good name is more precious, the Bible says, than riches. Says it's better than monetary value. It's better than silver and gold, the Bible says. So a name has economic value. It has social value. It has value in every sphere, a good name. Because the power in the market space is not in the assets, it's in the brand assets. It's in the brand name. Are you with me? He then said, not only will I give you land, not only will I make you great, not only will I bless you, not only will I make your name great, I will make you a blessing. Shoo! That means whenever you show up, something is going to happen. That means you will not just be a recipient of the blessing, you become a channel of blessing. There is no greater state of blessing than it is to be one who gives and not just one who receives. Bible says that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Your greatest state of blessing is when you are a channel, not just a dam. Because it's not meant to flow to you, it's meant to flow through you. And if God can get it through you, He will get it to you. Are you with me? That means everything that you are blessed in, God is trying to tell you, it's not about you. I want to multiply the number of people that have the blessing that I have put on you. I want you to be a channel. So if I give you money and show you how to make money, it's not about you making money. It's about you empowering others to build their economy. If I give you wisdom, it's not about you owning wisdom. It's about you showing people how to flow in the wisdom of God, so that there will be answers to our litany and legion of problems. Glory to God. The next thing that he said is, you know, when you become great, everything in your life becomes great. That means if you become great at anything, you will also have great enemies. You will also have great problems. You will have haters on a level of greatness. You will also have supporters on another level of greatness. So the first thing he says is, which I think is the sixth blessing, he says, I will bless them who bless you. I will bless those who bless you. God says, don't worry about reciprocation. I will reciprocate on your behalf because I do not want you distracted from your major area of traction, which is my purpose for your life, your work, and your office. Otherwise, you spend all your time trying to give back to people who have given to you. God says they will know it, that because they blessed you, they are blessed. That's the authentication of the Abrahamic blessing. When you are blessed, as God blessed Abraham, those who bless you, you won't have to reciprocate. As they think it, God will bless them just for supporting the man who carries his cause, the woman who carries his imperative. The next one is interesting. You know, I will bless those who bless you. The eighth thing that he says he'll do, by the way of promise, he says, in you, all the families of the earth, there are three families essentially, the Ishmaelite, the Shemite, the Japhethite. In another way, the Christian, the Muslim, and the Jew. All other faiths are offshoots or interpretations of these three primaries. So those are the eight blessings. But before he spoke of the eight blessings, he told Abraham to get rid of mindsets. How did he say this to him? He said, get out of your country, out of your kindred, and from your father's house. Because when I start speaking to you and moving you through the processes into greatness, your mind will not be able to absorb it if you remain around mental processes and social circles, associations, whose mindset is inhibitive to what I'm saying to you. You will not assent to my new prospects in your life. Instead, you will acquiesce to the status quo.
And you will always be what they have always been and never come outside of the box until I can get you to start thinking outside of the box. Do you get it? And because when I start dropping things in your heart and the pennies start dropping in your understanding, your family are going to contest it with you. They say, who do you think you are? What are you doing with those sheep that you've left in the backwoods of the desert? Where did you come from? What creek did you jump out of, you whippersnapper? Who do you think you are? Because, my friend, transformation is first a thought before it becomes an action. Slap three people a high five for me, or just point at them, tell them, think outside of the box. Yeah, tell them, think outside of the box. Otherwise, you're going to remain in the box, not only for your life, but for the life of your children, the life of your children's children, if you don't learn how to think outside of the box. I would want to say get out of the box, but if I tell you to get out of the box, you're not going to come out of it. But if I tell you to think yourself out of the box, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The mind leads the way for the body and the life. If your mind comes out, everything else about you will come out. When a baby is born, when my wife birthed our three children, I was there for a couple of them. Guess what part came out first? The head. Now, look at somebody with a real stern look. Tell them, God has much more for you. Get your mind out of the box. Get it out of the box. And to get him outside the box, he said, you can't stay in the circles you've stayed in. I'm not saying you should be nasty to the circles, but you cannot move in only one circle and expect to get outside of the box and do things outside of the box. I was trapped in one circle because they taught me religion when I came up as a Christian. But now I have friends I have sinner friends. So, Pastor, how can you have sinner friends? There's nothing wrong with having sinner friends. The Bible says Jesus was the friend of sinners. There are things that sinners know about the world, about economics, industry, things they know about governance and government that believers don't know. The Bible says it. Jesus said it himself. The children of this world are wiser in their own generation than the children of light. And if you don't learn how to learn things from them without their dirt getting on you, you will be void of the knowledge you need to excel and be light to them. So you got to move. Now, you don't throw a baby amongst wolves, but you can throw a lion killer amongst wolves. So grow up a little bit. And then when you've grown and a wolf put from the inside, start moving in a variation of circles. Know where your sanctuary is. That's why we have you here on Sunday. But outside of services and fellowship, get into other space so you can see how things work. So you don't know how they work, my friends, you won't get it right. I want to know everybody in intelligence. I want to know the fighter pilots. I want to know people in the Trilateral Commission, the Foreign Relations Council. I want to know people in the embassies. I want to know people in every sphere. I want to know people in industry. Because that's who I pastor. And if I'm going to be effective to you, I've got to know how it works in your field and your sphere. Do you get it? He said, Abraham, if you're going to be great, I cannot bless you with greatness inside your present circle. You've got to orbit in wider and more circles than the circle you're in. You need exposure. Exposure is everything. The word mindset is powerful because it literally means your mind is set. And when your mind is set, it means you cannot grow. Means your life will not change. Please, unset your mind. Open your mind and allow it to be flexible. Allow it to be fertilized by good seed. Glory to God. You cannot live beyond your mindset. You cannot reach beyond your mindset. And you cannot grow or go beyond your mindset. Get your mind out of the box. What is the box? The box is anything that is normal to you and your circle. The box is any convention that is normal to you and your circle. The box is everything that is acceptable to you. The box is anything that is safe for you. Anything that is comfortable for you. And as you grow into your comfort zone, you learn to set your mind in accord with that comfort box. And you say, I can live like this, so I don't need anything else or anything new. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you remain trapped in the thoughts of the box, the convention, the normalcy, and the safety of your circle, your life will never grow beyond your circle. So then, what is out-of-the-box thinking? Out-of-the-box thinking is provoked when you sense on the inside of you a greatness that is contradicted by the circumstances outside of you. So you see, I sense greatness, but my environment, my society, my experience contradicts it. That frustration with your status quo and the contradiction between the inside and the outside is your power to change your situation. Are you with me? I want to go somewhere. So you feel a greatness on the inside because a voice from God is speaking to you about your future. Yet your circumstances tell you nothing is going to change. And unless you agree with that thinking and extricate yourself from the circular thinking around you, your life will never change.
Next week on Something Is About to Happen.
Anytime God is about to promote you, He looks for an enemy that can inform you of your capacity, strength, and size. And so when He gives you an enemy that looks bigger than you, take a second look. You have become bigger than any enemy that God allows to fight you. God, according to Scripture, will never allow an enemy to fight you that is bigger than you. He may look bigger, but look in the right realm. You'll discover that greater is He that is in you than He that's in the world.